Welcome to the sermon from Silver Lake Baptist Church. Our mission is to celebrate the greatness of God with all we are for the joy, hope, and renewal of our community. We are so glad you have chosen to listen to our message. We pray you will be blessed by your time with us today.
Morning, all. You guys are the brave ones this morning. Amen. So let's pray. Father, thank you for your love, for your peace, for your goodness, for just all that you are to us and for your faithfulness and just always being there. And we give you the praise. Holy Spirit, speak through me this morning in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So we got a little bit of God's fertilizer coming down. I was remember the old timers always used to say, hey, there's God's fertilizer. They always wanted it to snow a little bit. And I didn't understand till just this last year why. Because what happens is as when it rains, it just comes straight down. But when it snows, it catches the nitrogen in the air and brings it down and kind of blankets the ground. And then when it melts, it releases it into the ground. So you get your ground fertilized. And I was like, you know what? Grandpa is pretty smart. You know, he knew what he was talking about, right? And so, but he always was smart anyway, so I don't know why we didn't listen. Like, he grew up farming and ranching and had to make his living doing that stuff. So, but I see the snow and I think of God's promise, right? And as the scripture says, as the rain falls, as the snow comes down, so will my word not return void, but it'll accomplish everything that I set it out to do. So in a way, it's like God's word is fertilizer for our life. It releases nitrogen and breathes oxygen into our lives when there's things in our lives that might feel dead or feel hopeless or feel like there's no way out, right? And so that's why the word of God's so important, right? And it gives us a standard to not necessarily to live by, but to live from. Does that make sense? It gives us a standard to know where we're at in Him. It gives us a gauge, right? And so that's what I love about this. And the Word, really, it says in the beginning was the Word. And it was the King James Version. Right? That's the only version you can... No, that wasn't what it said? In the beginning was the Word, and it was the NIV Version. Right? No, in the beginning was the Word, and it was just the Torah. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was what? Was God. The Word was with God, and the Word was God, right? And then the Bible says that He sent His Word, and He what? He beat the snot out of them with it. Like, it become like a hammer. Like, you straighten up right now, by golly, or I'm going to whoop you, right? We say whoop where I'm from, right? It don't say that. He sent His word to make sure that we're perfect all the time. No. He sent His word in what? And healed them. Right? So this is a healing book. This is God's fertilizer for our hearts and for our souls when we see it through the realm of faith in Jesus. Right? You can try to do the law on your own, but according to the law itself, if you miss one little part of the law, you've failed every part of the law. You're guilty for every part. So everyone's like, after Hitler or Mao or the Helter Skelter dude or whatever, oh, he's so evil. All I did was steal a pencil. Yeah. Right? All I did was say a little white lie. Well, if you're trying to live to the standard of perfection in the law, that little thing's just as bad as the Helter Skelter or the Hitler or the Mao under the law. And that's why we rest in Jesus and what He done, right? The Bible actually said He didn't give us the law to keep it, right? He gave us the law to show us who He was. That's who He is. He's perfect in every way. But it brought us to the point where we're like, no, we need You, Jesus. Right, we need Your help. We want to rest in You. And He's like, that's all I wanted from the very first, right? At Mount Sinai, when the law came down, He said, I'm giving you the law, but you got to keep it to the very nth degree. And all the Israelites said, we can do it. Yes, we can. We can do it. We got this. I mean, I think the answer, that would be like, boop, wrong answer, right? And that choice made it really hard on us for, right? Made it really hard on a lot of people because what they said was we can do it in our flesh rather than saying, we can't do that. I need you. I need you, Dad. I need you, Abba. I can't do it. It was a slave mentality. Even though they were out of Egypt, there was still Egypt enough in Egypt in them that they wanted a master. And he didn't want to be their master. He wanted to be their father. He wanted to be with them and work in and through them. And it's the same thing today. He's a good God that loves us so much that he gave his only son. That whosoever keeps the law to the nth degree, whoever tries to keep the law, to ever that what?
Believe.
It can't be that easy. Right? Because that, and you know what? Sometimes I think that's harder than trying to get on the little, what do you call that, spinning wheel, that my hamster wheel. Right? Sometimes I think at least our flesh feels like we're trying. Right? But when we realize it doesn't matter how good we do, our good's never good enough, and our bad's always the worst under the law. And God's like, I ain't wanting you to eat from that tree no more. I come that you may have life and life more abundantly, right? So that breaks things down to where now we're not just trusting in ourselves, but now we're trusting in Him, right? And so it gives us a freedom to live, right? Not when now if we make a mistake, we're like, oh my gosh, what if the rapture happens right now? Like, I'm going to be stuck feeding the dogs, right? That's why we don't have dogs no more. Like, we're worried the rapture's going to come and no one's going to be there to feed them. I am joking, by the way, for anyone, right? But that's the kind of mentality we get into, right? And I don't want to live that mentality, right? I have freedom in Jesus. And my freedom doesn't come from what I do. My freedom came from what He done. It was a complete work. It was a finished work. It was all about Him. And now in Him, I can live and I can move and I can have my doing. My what? You guys know the Bible is hard to... And have my doing? And have a being. What does it mean? There's a difference between a doing, do, and be, right? Do is just what? Do, right? Being is life. I'm living life. I am right now. That's the image of God that God made us to be. Being, as in right now. He says, now is the time of salvation. That's actually called the establishing factor, right? What is that? Now is the time of salvation. It doesn't matter. Oh, you know what? I'm stuck in the ditch and I'm about to go off a cliff. Can you come help me? You know what? I'll be there in 3 weeks at 10 o'clock. You might have 2 minutes. You don't need 3 weeks from now. Do you know what you need? Right now. You need right now. And the Bible says that He's an ever-present help when everything's going good. In the time of trouble. So if He's always with us, He's ever-present, He's the God of the now, He's the God of in Him we live and move and have our being, then we can just breathe and live. And we get so caught up in loving and living in Him that we forget, oh, That worked out for me. How'd that work out for me? Because you're not trying to control everything. You're just surrendering your life and everything in it to Him. And you're just being. That's what real salvation is. Resting in His work rather than trying to build on our own. I was driving down the road, and I was actually going to the feed store, and so I'm on my way to the feed store, and I'm just thinking, I'm listening to country music. So sometimes I listen to rock, too. I love the 80s rock. I mean, there ain't nothing better than, you know, who I grew up. I was missing the 70s the other day, and I was just a little kid. Like, I love the music from there. Like, and then we got Rocky. Remember Rocky? Like, all the Fall Guy, anybody remember before they made the new Fall Guy movie, right? All those guys, I used to want to be the Fall Guy, Lee Majors, you know, and all this stuff. Like, that was a good time, right? But I'm driving, and I'm just thinking, and all of a sudden, I seen this picture of Jesus on the cross. And as I'm driving, I'm thinking about Jesus and thinking about the Father. And for the minute, I saw and I remembered how in the Scripture it says that as Jesus died, the Father turned His back. And I've always, like 99% of the time I've ever heard that preached was because God was so angry. He was so mad that He had to pour all His wrath and He couldn't take it anymore. And He was mad at us. And it hit me. It hurt Him. Can you imagine? A good, loving God, a good, loving Father looking down on this. In pure love for me. In Jesus, He took the cross and He said, this is for you. And I'm going to go up the hill with it and they're going to crucify me on this. And I'm doing this for you because I love you. And I thank Jesus for that. But we forget that the Father and the Holy Spirit were a part of that too, right? And so here's the Father. He's having to look on this. Can you imagine the pain that He had to feel? And I thought, I'm so sorry. So sorry, Father, that You had to do that. That You had to look on that. I'm so sorry, Jesus, that You had to do that. You know what? He spoke to my heart. He said, I'm not. Because I did it for You. And when you do, you get that kind of love, there's nothing to be afraid of. The Bible says that it's perfect love that casts out fear. All fear. So when you know that He loves you that much, it changes everything about you. Now, there's times where you still panic. Anybody ever do that? You forget how much He loves you and you start stepping out and think, oh, I got to do this and I got to do that. The battle is not to be perfect. The battle is the Bible says that we labor to enter His rest. What does that mean? To rest in being. To rest in what He's done. To rest in who He is. And in that being, we live and move and have our being. And it all comes together. Does that make sense? The Bible says that the steps of a righteous man are what?
Are ordered by the Lord.
Are ordered by the Lord. Well, who's righteous? I am. Why am I righteous? Because of Him. Right? So that means as I rest in Him, as I live in Him, as I move in Him, then, man, I just start stepping. But I'm not stepping because I'm intentionally with my mind trying to out, with my logic trying to figure things out. I'm just living in Him and I naturally step where I need to be. And that's freedom. That's what I found with my horses. When I tried to make them step where I wanted them to step, I could get them to stand there. I could get them to take a lot of stuff, but you got to untrack them one. And when you untrack them, it ain't so much fun. Same way with religion does to us too. It can burden you down, but someday you're going to have to move your feet. And when you move your feet, you're going to want to get rid of that. Because that's not true freedom. That's eating from the wrong tree. And I want to eat from the tree of life. I want to live from the tree of life. I want to have my being in Him, right? Rather than trying to do everything on my own. Now, that doesn't mean you don't act. It means that how you act comes naturally from living in Him. The steps are ordered. What does that mean? He doesn't say, well, it's not like when you go to the military, they line you up on the grinder, like at attention, and they're like, okay, let's march. And then they sing their cadence, right? And they're singing their cadence going down the road, right? One, you two, you two, you three, you four, right? You know? Hey, hey, Captain Jack, right? Something like that. You know, whatever they're singing, right? But everyone's stepping in step. It's ordered, right? The steps cadence, the steps ordered. But how this works is we're flowing in Him. In some ways, it's like that because we're walking with the cadence of the Holy Spirit. And He's singing to us. And we're just stepping, boom, boom, boom. And you know what? Pretty soon we'll find we're in cadence with other people, right? And we're all moving as one. And we're all getting where we need to be. Why? Because we're trusting the voice of the shepherd and we're letting Him order our steps. And He's the one that is loving us. And that makes us free. You'll never find more freedom than when you're rested in Him. So all this other stuff, it's going to go. But what we have forever is who we are. And that's the thing that matters, right? So last week, I was talking about upgrades. Anybody remember the upgrades? It said, instead of bronze, I'll bring you gold and silver in the place of iron. Instead of wood, I will bring you bronze and iron in the place of stones. And He says this, I will make peace your governor. Again, there's that word peace. Shalom. Completeness. Nothing missing. Nothing broken. There's so much that can get broken and missing in our lives that we're trying to fix it all on our own. And when we start trying to fix it all on our own, then we lose the shalom peace, the completeness, and we get out of the filling peace where we're trying to have peace in the midst of the storm because we're trying to figure out a way to get out of the storm. Am I the only one who does that? The New Testament says, let peace be the umpire of your heart. Anyone ever play baseball? Right? What does the umpire do? I'll tell you what he does. He fouls up a lot of calls in the game. Right? It's almost as bad as the refs that play for the Kansas City Chiefs. Right? Right? What does the umpire do? He sits back there. And the pitcher pitches, and as the ball comes across the plate, he calls it. You know what he says? He's like ball, strike, foul, right? He's calling what's pitched, right? He's umpiring. He's saying, that's good. I want that. Nope, that's out. Really, he's not saying it's good or bad. He's just saying, that's a strike. That's a ball. That's a foul. You're out. Three strikes. You're out. Right? He's calling the game. And the Bible says that we're to let peace be the umpire of what? Of our heart. Do you know what that means when something's thrown at our heart? Like you, someone says, oh, you're a rotten sucker. You're like, strike. That's out. Or, well, that's a foul, actually. Like, that's out. I'm just fouling that out. Right? Actually, I'll just stop you. You're out. Just get out of here. Right? I get to call the game. I get a choice in the matter. And how I do it is, does it bring me peace? Does it bring me completeness? Does it allow me to rest? Because if it's something coming into my heart that causes me to be anxious, it puts me at dis-ease, and that's not from God, right? That's not God's best for me, right? One thing one of my mentors always used to say, he said, James, when you see something, he's like, don't attach to it. Just say, it's this, or God's got something better. You know what that does? That allows us to release, and as we release, we let go of that, and we're not hanging on to it saying, that's my Savior. We're saying, I have a Savior, and here, you have control of this. And I'm going to rest in your peace. And I'm going to rest in your hope. And I'm going to rest in your love. And I'm going to allow that to be the umpire of my heart. Again, just like our warning light system on our dash. We have it. The fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness, long-suffering. Right? That's what you guys get when you're setting in the messages and I go long. Long-suffering, right? No. Right? It's a dashboard. It's not something we try to do. It's when we don't have that peace, when we don't have the patience, when we don't have the strength to carry on. That's saying, wait. Ding, 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 ding. You need oil. Ding, ding. Your engine's overheating. It's a warning light saying, hey, that's not the fruit of the Spirit. That's coming from the flesh and from the effort that you're trying to do to get it done in your own self. So, I got peace. And the kingdom of God is what? Love, joy, and peace in the Holy Spirit. Right? So we know what walking in the Spirit's like. So as we walk, as we allow that umpire to umpire, and then we see the dash lights going, that's not very nice. You're not really walking in love. And sometimes walking in love is walking away. If someone's abusing you, it's love for you to walk away. You don't have to take that. Right? That's not what I'm saying. Long suffering. You got to suffer long. No, you don't. That's not God, right? But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, gentleness, goodness, meekness. What if that's how we know? Am I tuned in? Am I on the same wavelength, the same vibration, the same thought patterns as my daddy? Right? And here comes that accusation. You're a rotten sucker. I just seen what you did at that stoplight. I seen what you said to that Prius on the way to church. You rotten sucker. You're going to hell for that. God's going to do this to you, and God's going to do that. No, he's not. Do you know what he did for you and to you? Is he gave his son, his only son. No matter how far off you are, how bad you think you are, that pitch that's been hitting home and coming into your heart should be called a foul ball and not a strike. And you can change that. What's that? Changing your stance. You can change that by allowing peace to be the governor of your heart. As the scripture says, that's pretty good news, isn't it? He says, I will make peace your governor and righteousness your ruler. You know what? We're not ruled by sin. We're ruled by righteousness. Remember last week I was talking about the imputations, right? Sin to Adam. Right? Adam sinned to Jesus. Jesus died, rose again, and Jesus' righteousness comes to where? to us. Jesus took care of sin for us once and for all. Sin completely. Now, well, Pastor James, you know I'm not perfect. I'm going to mess up. Yeah, not sins. Sin. He died for sin. But as you rest in him, you'll find yourself hitting the mark more and more and more. But you might not be any better than a baseball player or the weatherman. The only two professions I know who can be wrong most of the time and still have a job. It's not about doing, it's about believing, and believing in the finished work that we are righteous, not because of what we do, but because of what he done, living that out, and now we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's good news. Like that'll curl your toes and put a step in it. You know what I mean? If we really can truly ever grasp, when I say grasp, be conscious of. When I say be conscious of, be aware of. Does that make sense? It's about awareness. What are you aware of? Because really all we are is here. Now watch this. No longer will violence be heard in your land, nor ruin or destruction within your borders, but you will call your walls salvation and your gates praise. The sun will no more be your light by day, nor the brightness of the moon shine on you. For the Lord will be your everlasting light, and your God will be your glory. Why is he talking about the sun and the moon? You know, there's people that literally worship the sun, right? They worship the sun. They're guided by the sun. They're guided by the moons, right? What is the moon? And the moon does have gravitational stuff. Like there's farmers that only plant in certain times and do stuff with livestock on certain times. It's got how God created the universe, right? The Hebrew calendar is actually lunar, where our calendar is solar, right? But what he's saying is you're not going to be guided by the natural, what you can see. He said, I will be your God. It doesn't matter what you see. It doesn't matter what you feel. Your emotions are not you. Your emotions can lie to you. But God's word won't lie to you. It's true. And you can rest in it. And you can trust him. This book's so big, it's hard to get where I want to go, so I'm just going to follow him. Is that okay? Okay. Your sun will never set again, and your moon will wane no more. The Lord will be your everlasting light, and your days of sorrow will end. Then will all your people be righteous. How many of the people? All the people will be righteous, and they will possess the land forever. They are the shoot I have planted, the work of my hands, for the display of my splendor. The least of you will become 1,000, and the smallest a mighty nation. I am the Lord, and in its time I will do it swiftly. Now watch this. Now I'm going to move over here to Romans chapter 5. I want to read some notes. Some of the things that God's been talking to me about this week is about forgiving. Now, that just doesn't mean other people. That means forgiving myself. Forgiving situations in our life. There's things that happen to us that we hold on to and we let it seep into our life. And it's something that's already gone and completely done with. But we give that a power and a control in our life because we're still hanging on to something that don't even exist. It's in our memory. Scientists say that most of what we live from is from the past. If it happened this way in the past, then that's what it's going to do again. And God says, no, no, no. You're a new creation in Christ Jesus. The old things have what? Have passed away. Behold, all things have become new, right? So what does forgive mean? We say, Lord, will you forgive me of my sin? Actually, we mean our sin, because if we say sins, we know in about 3 seconds we're going to miss the mark again. Right? All you would do is confess. I have to have everybody on speed dial. Just might as well stay on the line. Hey, if we have to confess our sins to our brothers every time we do it. Because like, hey, I messed up. Hey, I messed up. Hey, I messed up. You know what? Let's just not hang up. Come on. Right? The problem is God forgave sin so that we can be righteous, but we don't forgive ourselves completely. We hang on to those things that continually attach, those things that have hurt us, those things that have marred us, those things that come deep inside our heart, and we don't know how to forgive. We don't even know what forgive is. Forgive means this: to let go of completely. When God said, I have removed your sins as far as the east is from the west. You know why he didn't say as far as Los Angeles is from New York? Because you can measure that. You know how the east always catches the west? As far as the east is from the west? Because if you're going east, you're going to keep going. There's no more. It's completely gone. He said, I will remember your sins no more. He says, I have let go of that completely. Now will you? Another word is abandoned. I have abandoned my claim. I have abandoned that hurt. I have abandoned that trauma. I have abandoned it. I have let it go. I forgive. There's nothing more there. I have completely abandoned it, let go of it completely, and now I'm going to hang on to your peace. Excuse me. I'm going to hang on to your life. I'm going to hang on to right now. Because I don't know what tomorrow brings, but I know that right now I am loved. And I know that if you love me this much, that you're able to finish what you started. But am I hanging on to things and hurts that are making my decisions for me and letting them be the umpire instead of God's peace? That's something we get to choose. There's a saying, one of my mentors had a friend that said this, and he always would share this, and it's, let us not look back in anger, nor look forward in fear, but around us in awareness. You know what he's saying? Just be present. Just be. Don't look back. Don't look back in anger. Don't look forward in fear. But just be conscious of the righteousness of God and who He is and His love. And talk to Him and walk with Him. Just be aware that you are and that He is. Problem is we're hooked on to what other people think about us. So we need to detach from that. Detachment from other people's opinions. What someone else thought about you, what someone else said about you, is that ruling your life? Or are you going to trust what God says about you? Because the truth is this, God's opinion is the only one that matters. Don't give other people that power over your life. You are not your emotions. You are just experiencing them. That should set you free. The goal is not to experience your emotions. The goal is for your emotions not to control you. Are you being controlled by your emotions? Are you trusting in His God's word? Your emotions are good. You're not your mind. I know the thoughts that you think towards me, right? He knows the thoughts that we think. We know we don't know His thoughts, but we can by what? Reading His word. We can know His thoughts and His heart. It's all a mind game. God always gives me the best. This is how I learned to do it. This is how I'm trying to teach myself to talk. Is this or something better? God always gives me the best. If He gave me Jesus, why would He not freely give me a few things? All things. And I'm out of time. Truth is learning to live with oneself. You're like, Pat, what does that mean? Just living with myself, but living with oneself. A double-minded man is unstable in some of his ways, all of his ways. I want to live with one self. The Shema on the door on every Jewish house is on the door of every mezuzah on every Jewish house that says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord is God. He is one." Love Him with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your soul, and love your neighbor. No, just kidding. Don't love your neighbor. Right? And love your neighbor as yourself. Are you living with one self? Are you living as one in Him? I'm going to close with a scripture. Not that I haven't been using scriptures, just because I'm not reading. Therefore, Romans 5:1 says, "Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace." We have what? Peace with God through our works. Through what we do? No. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through whom, not what, through whom we have gained access by works, by faith, thanks for correcting me, into this grace in which we now stand. And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Isn't that good news? Mm-hmm. We have peace, we have hope, we have love, we have it because of one reason, because of Jesus. And you can take that to the bank. Amen? Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for your peace. Just let everyone feel your presence and your love and your peace, and let them know how valuable they are to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening. If you'd like to learn more about us, check out our website at www.silverlakebaptist.org.